Thank you for joining us. As the committee may recall, when Representative Chapman gave us his bill, we also asked him to give us some thoughts on what it was presently in rule and not, and he's here to share that with us. So, Ralph, you got a half hour if that'll work for you.
Thank you, Senator Saviello and Representative Welch and members of the Joint Standing Committee on Environment and Natural Resources.
This used to be the Energy and Natural Resources Committee way back in the day.
My name is Ralph Chapman. I represent House District 133 in Hancock County. And I have a variety of materials for you that I'll have your clerk give to you sort of as we get to them. And, of course, I have more to say than time allows, so I apologize for the brevity of my comments on the specific areas. I am more than happy to go into more detail in an area that you choose. Give me a moment to... sort through the papers. Okay. I'd like to start by responding to the three questions that you asked of me at the time I presented LD 750, an act to allow regulated metal mining in Maine. The first question was to provide the complete context for a comment that I made regarding institutional ignorance shown by the Department of Environmental Protection. When they made the comment that the rejected resubmitted rules provided monies to cover a worst-case scenario. At the time that I made that comment during my presentation of LD 750, I was trying to communicate the need for this committee to access the needed expertise. And I wanted to highlight the state of ignorance, not only of the department, but of you and I as well. Consequently, I avoided naming the individual involved, but since you've asked for the detail, I've transcripted from the a video provided by that's publicly accessible on YouTube, prepared by Eric Tuttle. I transcripted the entire interchange, and it's a quotation of a question that Representative Tucker asked the Heather Parent, and I have that for you here. And I just read briefly. Representative Tucker asked, my question is, does the department anticipate that if there's metal mining, there will be a minimum of 100 years of fluids left? And to that question, she answered, we would not be approving a permit if we felt like there would be a minimum of 100 years of fluids left that needed to be treated. What the cost requirements refer to is if all of everything they're trying to do fails and there's a problem, what is the cost going to be to clean it up? And so we approve a permit only if they can demonstrate to our satisfaction there's not going to be a problem, but in the real world, problems happen on every site, on a typical site location of a development site, and so we want to make sure that they've got the money and that they will provide us the money in the event something happens. And so we're looking at a worst-case scenario for purposes of making sure that we have the assurance that they are going to give us the money to address it in the event of a worst-case scenario. And then Representative Tucker proceeded with a follow-up question. So that's the full context of my comment indicating institutional ignorance, and I just to fill out that a little bit to understand what I mean, as you know, the average cost for a tailings storage facility failure today in today's mining is on the order of $500 million. And so that's the average cost, not a worst-case cost. That's orders of magnitude beyond what the department had been thinking, and so I was trying to indicate that this is evidence of departmental ignorance. The second question that you asked me was to provide a citation for the 1997 publication that I referenced involving the mining industry study trying to find a mine that satisfied Wisconsin's prove it first law. And I've provided that to you here. And additionally, I'm providing your clerk with one copy of the version that's available online. I didn't make copies for everyone. Certainly, I would encourage you to read the report if you have not. mining expert Robert Moran, in his email of March 9th, 2015, cautions readers to refer to the original paper cited and the piece of paper that you're getting from your clerk rather than the version that's online. Nevertheless, I've also given you a printout of the version that's online. The online version, Robert Moran calls a cleaned-up version. And this is an industry-sponsored study, and it takes a stance that's very favorable to the industry. At the same time, what's fascinating is, in spite of all of the wording that is very favorable to the industry, it does not actually identify any mine that meets the Wisconsin Prove-It First law, and this was published in 1997. I don't have updated information for you. I think it would be useful if we had it.
I would agree. That was, I guess, the question was, where do we have the updated information? But what you have presently is just this citation, correct?
I cited the information that I provided to you. I don't have access to updated information. I would be very pleased to help you access it if there is such, if you would like me to do so. Then thirdly, the third question I was asked is to provide a side-by-side comparison to features of LD 750 with the resubmitted rejected rules developed in response to the 125th legislature, LD 1853. Now,
during my presentation, I made it clear in the final short paragraph on page 4 of my testimony when I presented it that this committee ought not to engage in rulemaking. I recognize that the previous four work sessions have concentrated on pre-scheduled section-by-section review of the resubmitted rejected rules carried by LD 146 with the obvious effort of improving upon them by developing suggested changes to those rules. Although you've occasionally referred to provisions within LD 750, you've not yet begun a work session on that until today, which was intended to provide a statutory framework for the development of rules. So, in essence, you've asked me to compare a framework
for development of rules with a set of rules, in which there's not expected to be a correspondence, but you also asked that your analysts prepare the same thing, a side-by-side comparison. Before I get to that, let me point out that I hope that your work so far has been useful to you as a means to learn more about mining, and it's not too late to consider the policy questions for which the full legislature seeks your guidance. So I'm hoping that you will take on the policy questions rather than simply the rulemaking.